content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello, this is Jerry Smith from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from various sources in the local media, including last Sunday's Arts and Living section of the News and Observer, and the current issue of the Independent Weekly, as well as other local happenings around town. Let's start with some of the local happenings that will be occurring in the area this coming week. To begin with, there is a book reading and signing at the Quail Ridge Books and Music Shop on Wednesday. That would be at 7:30 p.m. And the author is, not Wednesday, it's Friday at 7:30 p.m. That would be Friday that would be this evening, Friday the 15th. The author who will be speaking and signing will be John Hart, who has written a book called Iron House. And there's an article in the Arts and Living section of last Sunday's News and Observer regarding Mr. Hart and his writings, and I'll read that article to you right now. Like popular historians, writers of crime fiction haven't always received their due from literary gatekeepers. In the latter case, such gatekeepers, often English professors, have tended to sniff at the genre conventions of police procedurals, courtroom novels, whodunits, and even the detective fiction classified as noir. Although most writers like their work to be praised by experts, we needn't cry for successful crime novelists, who often outsell obscure, if not unreadable, Nobelists in literature by several orders of magnitude. Can anyone spell John Grisham? It's certainly easier than Stieg Larsson. Now I'm overstating things a bit, because in recent decades, experts have also begun to appreciate the talent and artistry of contemporary practitioners of the crime genre, and in many cases to evaluate past masters of the crime tradition. To be sure, it remains unlikely that Raymond Chandler or Patricia Highsmith will ever displace Hemingway, Fitzgerald, and Faulkner in the American literature pantheon, but the distance is ever shrinking. Among the rising stars in the crime genre is North Carolinian John Hart, who not only sells well, but also receives widespread critical acclaim. Hart, a Durham native who lives in Salisbury, published a well-received first novel, King of Lies, in 2006, but made an international name for himself with his next two, Down River in 2007 and The Last Child in 2009, each of which won the most prestigious prize in the field, the Mysterious Writers of America's Edward Edgar Award for Best Novel. Hart's first three novels share common characteristics: a North Carolina setting, fast pacing, complex plots, serious violence, and complicated family relationships. His narrative strategy has become more sophisticated over time, however, and The Last Child, unlike his two earlier novels, is narrated in different voices, representing very different perspectives. That said, none of Hart's first three novels prepares readers fully for what is in store for them in Iron House. Indeed, the latest thriller, which starts off in New York but is set mostly in the mountains of North Carolina, can best be characterized as Hart 2.0, bullet fast and super gory, everything amplified and intensified. And the plot, it would take weeks merely to sketch it out. Suffice it to say that it involves two orphan brothers reunited 23 years after being separated as children as a result of a horrific act of violence and a creepy orphanage in western North Carolina. Corrupt politicians and crooked cops, backwoods hillbillies, including some deliverance types, mafiosi, and a beautiful young Spanish woman in love with one of the brothers also come into play. The events responsible for the brothers' unexpected reunion, the older siblings' attempt to, quote, retire from the mafia for the woman he loves, set the plot into motion, leading to a cascade of brutality and savagery, often of an almost unspeakable nature, tawdry revelations, cunning and duplicity. And it should be noted as well to reconciliation of a sort, rekindled and recalibrated love, and a measure of redemption. Hart, again, working in multiple voices and from a variety of perspectives, is somehow able to pull together all of the moving parts to do the near impossible, to transform a bloody tale of murder and mayhem into something of a meditation, or better yet, a fugue on familial love. In so doing, he has taken a giant step forward as a writer, demonstrating yet again the impoverished imaginations of those who dismiss popular fiction and automatically relegate genre writers to the bargain basement of the House of Literature. Once again, this is the book is called Iron House. The author's name is John Hart, and he will appear at the Quail Ridge Bookstore tonight, Friday at 7:30, and he'll be at in Chapel Hill on Saturday at the Flying Bookstore at 2 p.m. John Hart, the author of Iron House. Also on Saturday, in Memorial Auditorium, Chris Tucker will appear. In the late 1990s, Chris Tucker exploded as a comic and film star, along with Chris Rock, prompting my friends and me to come up with an unintentionally racist joke about a sitcom called Two Loud Black Guys Named Chris. It was high school. Regardless, Tucker got a cult following from Friday, Big Bucks, and box office from the Rush Hour films, and as for The Fifth Element, well, he was in that. In 2010, after barely appearing in any films over the past decade, Tucker made headlines again after it was revealed he owed more than $11 million in federal taxes in California. He was recently rumored to be up for a role in Quentin Tarantino's Django, Unchained, but lost to Jamie Foxx, who previously said on L.A.'s Joe Clare and Earthquake show that it was time for Tucker to go to work. Perhaps Tucker has taken Foxx's advice, and he has started doing stand-up again this year. Perhaps he'll be all over the big screen again, at least to work his way out of his hole. Five gets you ten. Someone tonight shouts at him. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Once again, that's in Memorial Auditorium, Saturday, tomorrow night, July 16th, starting at 8 o'clock. Tickets run from $39.75 to $59.75. Other performances coming down the pike. The Duke performances for the 2011-2012 season have been announced. And this is at, you can find more information about these at DukePerformances.org. Just to mention a few, on Friday, October 7th, Liz Wright will appear at in a Reynolds Theater. On Sunday, October 16th, in Page Auditorium, Goran Bregovic and his wedding and funeral orchestra. Farther out, on December 2nd, Friday, Carolina Chocolate Drops, the Luminescent Orchestra. And on Saturday, December 3rd, Andre Watts Piano. That's in the Page Auditorium as well. And if you really want to go into 2012, Branford Marsalis Quartet, appearing Friday and Saturday. That's January 13th and 14th, and we'll have more information about that as we get closer to those dates. If you're a musical comedy fan, the musical Hairspray will be appearing at Raleigh Memorial Auditorium on July 23rd through the 31st. Hairspray is the winner of 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Score, and Best Book. It's a big musical, a big comedy, and, of course, it's all about big hair. You can get more information by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. www.nctheater.com is the website. Groups of 10 plus can save up to $10 per ticket. Call 919-831-6941, extension 6944. And that will be at the North Carolina Theater box office on 1 East South Street in Raleigh, North Carolina. And once again, Memorial Auditorium, July 23rd through the 31st, the musical Hairspray. In Cary, the Coca Booth Amphitheater, always a very popular venue for big events. We'll run down a few of those that are appearing in July, starting this evening at 7:30. Boz Skaggs and Michael McDonald. Tickets are on sale now. $35 general admission for the lawn, $50 for reserve tables, $37.50 for general admission. That's this evening, 7:30, at the Coca Booth Amphitheater. Tomorrow evening, Saturday, July 16th at 7:30, the Rex Healthcare Summerfest Series with the North Carolina Symphony. Time for three. Tickets on sale now, $30 to $40. Kids 12 and under free. And there will be a fireworks display following the concert. On Thursday, July 21st, once again at the Coca Booth Amphitheater, and this is 7 p.m. next Thursday, July 21st, Wake Med Cary Hospital presents Movies by Moonlight. The Twilight Eclipse is the name of the movie, page 13. Tickets available on the night of the show, $3 for adults. Kids under 12 are free. Picnics welcome. On Friday, at July 22nd, that's a week from tonight, 7 p.m., once again, Coca Booth Amphitheater, the Sound of Music Sing-Along. Tickets are on sale now, $15 for adults, $5 for children ages 3 to 12. On Sunday, July 24th at 7 p.m., Huey Lewis and the News. Tickets on sale now, $35 general admission, $50, that's for lawn seating, $50 reserve tables, and $37.50 for general admission. And on Thursday, July 28th at 7:30 p.m., Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith, once again, the Cary Coca Booth Amphitheater in Cary. Tickets on sale now, $35 general admission, $50 reserve tables, and $37.50 general admission. And the final performance in July at the Coca Booth Amphitheater is on Saturday, July 30th at 7:30 p.m., The Temptations and the Four Tops. Tickets are on sale now, $39.50 for general admission on the lawn, $59.50 for reserve tables, $45 for general admission on the lawn. Duke Performances presents Music in the Gardens every Wednesday in July at 7 p.m. So the next one would be July 20th. Lost in the Trees, $10 general admission, $5 for Duke employees and students. The Chamber Music in Kirby Horton Hall at Duke Gardens will be on Wednesday, July 20th. Mendelssohn, Giannostra, Britten, Brahms, Bonnie Thron, cello, John Noel, piano, and Fred Jakobitz, clarinet. On Wednesday, July 27th, Polonc Fower, Chaminade, Fred Ramey, cello, Eric Pritchard, violin, and Jane Hawkins on the piano. Once again, that's Music in the Gardens. You can get further information by calling 919-684-4444. Or www.dukeperformances.org. Friday, September 9th, Drive-By Truckers will be appearing at the City Plaza in downtown Raleigh at 5:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at www.hopscotchmusicfest.com. And also in downtown Raleigh, September 8th, 9th, and 10th, The Flaming Lips, Guided by Voices, Superchunk, The Dodos, Swans, and a whole number of others appearing during that 3-day period. Once again, tickets are on sale now, and you can get more information by going to hopscotchmusicfest.com. LincolnTheater.com. These are the performances for July. Go to LincolnTheater.com. Friday tonight, July 15th, The Breakfast Club at 8 p.m. Tomorrow night, Saturday, July 16th, Datsik with Terra Vita at 9 p.m. Monday, July 18th, Reckless Kelly with Mickey and the Motor Cars at 7 p.m. Wednesday, July 20th, John Butler Trio with Gomez at 7 p.m. Thursday, July 21st, Zozo, the Ultimate Zeppelin Tribute at 7:30 p.m. Friday, July 22nd, Blue Dogs with the Craig Thompson Band starting at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 23rd, Deja Fest outside stage starting at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, July 27th, Cottonmouth, that's Cottonmouth with a K, Kings, starting at 7 p.m. And Thursday, July 28th, the New Raiders of the Purple Sage, starting at 9 p.m. And the final two performances in July, Friday, July 29th, Revolution Raleigh, starting at 9 p.m. And on Saturday, July 30th, Mark Broussard, starting at 7 p.m. That's at LincolnTheater.com. In the Cat's Cradle website, on CatsCradle.com, for more information, you can dial 967-9053, and the address for that venue is 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. On Thursday, let's start with July 22nd. There's an album release party with Doe Rumweber and Eric Sommer. On Saturday, July 23rd, Girls Rock Showcase. On Sunday, July 24th, The Devil Makes Three. On Monday, July 25th, Eels. On Thursday, July 26th, Chris Wibby. And on Tuesday, July 26th, excuse me, Chris Wibby. Thursday, July 27th, Josh Ritter. Friday, July 29th, a tribute to Eric Clapton. And Saturday, July 30th, Cosmic Charlie, Jerry Garcia birthday celebration performance. Now, once again, the concert at the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater tomorrow night with the North Carolina Symphony will be followed by fireworks. I've already given you the information about that. And you can, once again, call the Cocoa Booth phone number for details regarding those performances. And for more goings on in the coming weeks, let me cover. I've already mentioned the show Hairspray appearing at the North Carolina Theater up through July 30th, excuse me. On Saturday, July 30th, the movie The King's Speech will be shown at the North Carolina Museum of Art in the amphitheater outside. That'll be at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, July 30th. On Friday, August 19th at 9 p.m., the movie The Social Network, also being shown at the North Carolina Museum of Art in the amphitheater outside. Okay, other goings on in this area, starting on Saturday, July 16th, Iris Dement will appear at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. The phone number there is 715-5923. Go to ncartmuseum.org for more information. Acoustic Manor, Saxapaw River Mill, Saxapaw, North Carolina. For more information, once again, that's Saturday, July 16th. For more information, go to rivermillvillage.com. On the Sunday, July 18th, the art event, Angela Easterling and the Carter Brothers will appear at the Poplar Night Spot in Aberdeen, North Carolina. Phone number there is 910-944-7502, or go to theroosterswife.org for more information. On Wednesday, July 20th, Wildflower will appear at the Irregardless Cafe in Raleigh, North Carolina. Phone number there is 919-833-8898, or go to www.irregardless.com. On Thursday, July 21st, Tommy Edwards, Alice Zincone, and Rick LaFleur will appear at the Blue Note Grill in Durham. The phone number there is 919-401-1979, www.thebluenotegrill.com. On Friday, July 22nd, Swift Creek, Bynum Front Porch Music Series at the Bynum General Store in Bynum, North Carolina. Go to www.bynumfrontporch.org. And in New Hope, that's once again, this is Friday, July 22nd. In New Hope, the Open Eye Cafe in Carrboro. It's New Hope Creek, Open Eye Cafe in Carrboro. The address, the phone number is 919-968-9410. That's it. Once again, that is on July 22nd, Saturday evening. We're going farther out now. On Thursday, November the 3rd, in the Fletcher Theater, the Kruger Brothers will be appearing. Just a brief description of what they're all about. When you listen to the music of the Kruger Brothers, you can't help but be amazed by the sheer depth of their artistry. Originally from Europe, now living in North Carolina, they draw from a rich cultural palette, seamlessly blending elements of folk, bluegrass, jazz, and classical music into their sound. Their original music, composed by Jens Kruger, recent Blue Ridge Music Hall of Fame inductee, is unpretentious, cultivated, and delightfully fresh. Their latest CD, Appalachian Concerto, released earlier this year, celebrates Appalachia, the history, the landscape, and the culture in a way only the Kruger Brothers can. These innovative, soulful, world-class virtuosos put on performance that you will find breathtaking and unforgettable. Once again, that's Thursday, November 3rd in the Fletcher Theater at the Progress Energy Arts Center. Tickets are $20 to $22 for members and $25 to $27 for the public. The Pine Cone Session Spotlight. The Tir Na N'Og Music Session is held every Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Tir Na N'Og Restaurant and Bar. That's at 218 South Blunt Street in Raleigh. Pinecone and Tir Na N'Og co-sponsor a weekly Irish music session that combines teaching and playing. The traditional Irish music session meets every Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m., either in the back left of the pub, near the fireplace, or in the cottage. Shape Notes Sing appears the fourth Sunday of the month from 2 to 4 p.m., at the Friends Meeting House at 625 Tower Street in Raleigh. Pine Cone and the Triangle Shape Note Singers sponsor a monthly Shape Note Sing. This session meets the fourth Sunday of each month. The singers have a new location at the Friends Meeting House in Raleigh. Beginners are welcome and music is provided. For directions, call 919-781-3596 or visit the NC Shape Note website. Okay, here is some events that are scheduled for the month of August. The Pine Cone Piedmont Council of Traditional Music. And again, here's the August lineup. On Sunday, August the 7th, Pine Cone and the Town of Wake Forest present Chapel Hill Band Mandolin Orange in their duo configuration at the Great Outdoor Space at East Carroll Joyner Park. On Saturday, August 13th, Pine Cone is honored to be part of the dedication ceremony for the new Cary Arts Center, located at the end of Academy Street in downtown Cary. Pine Cone presents Larkin Poe, an exciting act who delivers an innovative fusion of newgrass, country, and folk with tight harmonies and outstanding musicianship. Pine Cone continues to promote ongoing participatory music jams and sessions that give community members the opportunity to take part in music making. A bluegrass jam the second and fourth Monday of the month at the Busy Bee Cafe, an Irish music session every Sunday afternoon at Tiernanog, we've already talked about that, and a monthly shape note sing the fourth Sunday afternoon of the month at the Friends Meeting House in Raleigh. These sessions are free and open to the public to join in or sit back and observe. And even though it's kind of late here, Friday, this evening, Friday, July 15th at 9 o'clock, the American Tobacco and Full Frame Movies on the Lawn, presented by Whole Foods, will be showing the movie Soul Power. In 1974, the most celebrated American rhythm and blues acts of the time came together with the most renowned musical groups in Africa for a 12-hour, three-night-long concert held in Kinshasa, Zaire. Soul Power finally provides today's audience the opportunity to experience this historic musical event in all of its magnificent filmed glory. That's tonight at 9 o'clock. For more information on this and other online events or to order your Whole Foods market picnic, go to atclawnseries.com. Once again, Soul Power tonight, Friday, on July 15th. And here's another book review for those of you who are mystery lovers. The book is called Thunder Moon by Richard Helms. It's a five-star publication, 412 pages long. Here's a homegrown story by a homegrown writer who knows his way around a southern summer. Richard Helms can talk about heat the way an Eskimo can talk about snow, so his tale of deception and murder in the small town of Prosperity, North Carolina, has an authentic feel, especially if you read it outdoors, in the shade, of course, on one of these 100-degree heat index days. Police Chief Judd Wheeler wades through the heat, from crime scenes to witness interviews to a traveling preacher's tent. It sounds like an interesting book, and I think you would enjoy reading that. We've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Bulletin Board. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. My name is Jerry Smith, reading from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience.